The Lord and lift him high. Before we get to the message, so it'd be good to update the church in terms of where we're at with the Eden Bus, an outreach that we're proposing to have with the young people. 2 weeks ago I phoned just to touch base and find out what was going on, and I didn't get a response in days past, and then I phoned again and left a voicemail, and then I got a phone call back, which I was relieved about. But in that phone call, Jamie from the Message Trust, he shared with me, a bus driver's handed in a notice. And that means that come your project, we won't have anybody to drive the bus. We're trying our best to get something to work for you, but there's no guarantees as to where we will be. What do you want to do? Do you want to put it into January or just wait? I said to him, let's pray for the next 2 weeks and seek God and see if he comes up with a solution. So we've been praying and trying to come up with a plan B and using the intellect that God's blessed us with. And we got to Thursday night and no really further forward in terms of a solid commitment from somebody who could drive a bus for 6 Saturday nights for us. So I'm sitting with Heather watching a film, so engrossed in it that I sent Jamie a text from Message Trust just saying, how are you getting on? Are we any further forward? And he texts me back about 2 minutes later, and he said, David, when you text me, I was on the phone and have the solution to the problem. He said, I can speak to you tomorrow, or I'm available now if you want to chat. So I phoned him pretty swiftly, and I said to him, that's fantastic, how concrete is this? And he said, we have somebody who can commit to 6 dates, who has helped with the project in the past, and is good to go. So I was delighted. I said, insurance-wise, where are we at? He said, well, it needs to be proposed, and it will be a formality that will be accepted, but that hasn't happened yet. So this morning, we're at a stage where we're going ahead, and if you can pray that tomorrow this gentleman gets accepted on insurance, which should happen. You might not have prayed for him to be on insurance before. It's a first time for everything. Please be praying tomorrow that this gentleman gets accepted to be on the insurance, and we go ahead next Saturday for 6 weeks, as we reach out to our young people in the community here. I believe God is in this. It has been for months and months and months, and as we've looked to him and trusted in him, and even at the last minute still trusting, let's believe that God will come through and will share a fantastic few weeks in seeing young people hear about Jesus, come to faith, who knows, and what that means for us as a church moving forward as we invest in young lives. So for your encouragement, let's just pray about that now. Let's pray. Father, we do look ahead to next weekend, and we anticipate the Eden Bus being with us as we reach out to our young people. And we thank you, Lord, for how you've been blessing us through the hub on a Saturday evening. Over 30 young people coming regularly. Lord, you are good. And Lord, we acknowledge that and proclaim that this morning. Thank you for this church, Lord, and so many who are willing to come along and help, whether that's come to the prayer space or make toasties or serve hot chocolate or help with stewarding. Thank you, Lord, that as a church we see value in this, and thank you for every person who's going to play their part as well. We pray specifically, Lord, for this guy that will be accepted on the insurance, no problem, in the next day or two. We commit that to you, Lord, and we just look to you, Lord. We thank you that where does our help come from? We look to the hills, and it comes from the Lord. So, Lord, we give you thanks for how you've been working, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in recent days, we've launched into year 2 of our vision and a new way of living, which is each one, reach one, please God. And thinking about how we share our faith with other people, which can be a difficult thing to do, a scary thing for us to do, if we're being honest. Maybe some of the following thoughts and questions come to your mind as you think about sharing your faith with other people. I'm the only Christian in the workplace. I find that difficult. How can I speak out and speak up? Do I just live out what I believe and not say much more? Do I end up saying too much and then make mistakes and people see that what I say and what I believe don't match up? How can I? How do I share my faith with those that are around me? I think one of the helpful things that we can do is learn from each other and hear of each other's experiences about sharing our faith. Times that it's went well, times that it's went terribly wrong. And to do that, I'm going to invite one of our young people now, Sophie, to come and join me. To get a perspective from a young person today as to what is it like as a young person to share your faith. This is something, a question that we will be discussing in Life Group this week. Great to have our young people here. Sophie represents them this morning as she comes to share. Thank you, Sophie, for willing to be involved. Sophie, how long have you been coming to East Mains?
Well, I recently moved over from Glasgow Elam Church, so I've been coming here for about 6 or 7 months now. Yep. Yeah, 6 or 7 months.
Okay. I know that you're enjoying it. Tell us what some of your highlights are.
Well, I've really been enjoying this church, especially because it's really good for the youth. One of my favourite things that the youth have done has probably been like Soul Survivor, which was at the summer, and it was basically like this big massive kind of camp for like Christians, and it was just amazing, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I also like all the kind of clubs that this church offers. So there's like Going Deeper, which is like Bible study at Jim and Lauren's house, and there's like Metal, which is obviously on the Sunday, and it's also at my school as well on a Wednesday lunch. So there's like loads of opportunities for me, and it's this church has just been amazing for like all the clubs and things to get involved in as well.
Good. What does being a Christian mean to you?
Well, being a Christian really means a lot to me. I feel like it influences what I do on like a daily basis. So like how I talk to people and, you know, like in my actions as well. Like, and I feel like people tend to notice that, especially in school, because they'll kind of be like, oh, why are you not doing that? Or why are you not talking like this? Or why are you not doing this? And I'll be like, well, because, you know, I respect God, and this is just not what I do. So I feel like it does like influence a lot, and it really does mean a lot to me.
Good. You mentioned school there, Sophie. What school is it you go to?
I go to Calder Glen High School.
Okay, so as a teenager and as a Christian, is it easy for you to share your faith with your friends at school?
Sharing my faith, I've had like really good experiences with sharing my faith, so I've never really ever had any trouble personally. I feel like all my friends have always just been really accepting, and even people that I haven't known that I've shared with have always been accepting as well, and they've always just been like really curious about it. So I'm always like really thankful for that, and I know that it's not always going to be easy, and I would never really like pressure someone and, you know, talk about it if it's really, really making someone feel uncomfortable about it. So, you know, like it's, people do respect me as well for talking about it, so it's been good, yeah.
Great. Can you give us an example of when you've shared your faith with one of your friends?
Well, recently in third year, because all my classes mix up, I've kind of just been talking to new people and, you know, like making new friends and stuff. So there was this one girl and we were sitting in class, and I was like, oh yeah, well, obviously I'm a Christian. And so she was like, you're a Christian? She's like, you're a Christian, so do you go to church on the Sunday? And do you read the Bible and all that? And do you like praying to God and all that? And I was like, well, yeah, I pray to God. I mean, I don't get on all fours and start, you know, doing chants and all that. It's not like that. It's just like a conversation. And she was like, wow, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I mean, I've never really saw someone who's like really religious like you are. That is so cool. And I was like, thank you.
Brilliant. What inspires you to share your faith with others?
What inspires me is I feel like I've had a really, really good life, and I've had a really good like walk with God so far. And I feel like these days, especially people my age, and like everyone's guilty of it, like we try and find things to fulfill that need that God has for us. So like that might be like social media, or, you know, like having to look the best all the time, or, you know, like what you're posting, and just loads of things like that. They try and find things to fulfill that space that God has, and I feel like everyone should get to experience God and, you know, get to know his love, because I feel like it would just make life so much better for people, because I know that it has for me.
As a young person, finally, what encouragement would you give to us when it comes to sharing our faith?
Even if it's like a subtle conversation, just try and, I don't know, get it in there somewhere. Like, someone might be in your work, for instance, they might be upset, or, you know, like, just really down about something. And even if you just have a subtle conversation with them, or just not even necessarily about Christianity, like, they'll pick up on your actions. You know, that was a nice thing to do, that you talked to someone, like, you talked to them and you were willing to, like, listen to them. And I feel like, you know, don't pressure someone either. Like, if you say to someone and they take it the wrong way, you know, they might go home and they might think about it and they might come back later to you and be like, listen, I'm sorry. Like, you know, thank you for sharing with me, though, because I did appreciate it that you were thinking about me. And I just think, you know, like, just try and help people, because you might be that only chance that someone's got to experience God. Like, that person might never come across Jesus again, and I feel like everyone should have that chance, and everyone should, you know God's love, and especially just do it confidently as well, because if you don't do it confidently, then, you know, who's going to want to come to Jesus, you know? If you're like, oh yeah, well, I kind of believe in Jesus, you know, it's not. So do it confidently.
Amen. Sophie, thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Thank you. So Sophie will be at the door just to help you how to share your faith. Well, kidding on, you won't be. This morning I'd like to share with you from Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17 we're going to learn about the Apostle Paul and how he shared his faith with others. The Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul, was killing Christians, he was killing the church, and then he meets Jesus on the Damascus Road. He has an encounter with Jesus, and he amazingly comes to faith. You read about that in Acts chapter 9, and he spends the rest of his life telling people about Jesus, planting churches, giving instruction to churches, encouraging churches. A lot of his writings are in the New Testament. He was a devoted follower of Jesus and a great example that we can look to and learn from this morning as we think about how we share our faith with others. In Acts 17, Paul is in the marketplace in Athens while he's on his second missionary journey. And leading up to this point, Paul and his team have been telling people about Jesus and many have come to faith. But at this particular point, he's separated from his co-workers. That's Silas and Timothy. He finds himself alone in this marvellous city with big buildings. Many gods, as we will read about. It was the centre of Greek culture, philosophy and education. Athens was one of the most prominent intellectual and cultural places in the Roman world. Educated people were always wanting to hear something new, willing to hear something new. And Paul senses a great opportunity in this setting to talk about his Lord and Saviour. Paul on his own takes this opportunity to share one of the greatest messages that he would share in his life. Acts 17 verses 16 to 34. Let's read it together. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up?" Others said, "He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods." Then they took him to the high council of the city. "Come and tell us about this new teaching," they said. "You're saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about." It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. "Men of Athens, I notice that you're very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.' This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man he created all nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with injustice by the man he has appointed. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, "We want to hear more about this later." That ended Paul's discussion with them. But some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysus, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is truth, that it is life-giving. And Lord, may we hear your voice through it as we continue on this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul in Athens, Paul had a conviction to share. He had a courage to share, but he also had a confidence to share. Paul's conviction to share in verse 16, he was deeply troubled by all the idols that he saw everywhere in the city. Paul was where people were at. So important when we think about sharing our faith. Paul's in amongst the people. He's in amongst the business. He's in amongst what is going on. I was reminded just these last few days in finishing my preparation of being in Naples in Italy, maybe 3 years ago now. And I was out there visiting a GLOW missionary couple. And on the Friday night, I walked around Naples with my friend Luca. And he said to me, "I walk around this place every day looking at people and praying for them, thinking, how do I reach these people?" So important, and I was really challenged at the time because I said to him, "That is amazing." Because what we tend to do in our churches is sit in the church and pray about what we should do. He's out there walking about, observing, watching, praying. Paul here is in amongst the people. He's watching what is going on, and within that context, seizes the opportunity that comes his way to share about the gospel. Paul finds common ground. Paul shared among people. Lots of different people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different worldviews. Paul was among people. Why? Because Jesus, who he followed, was always among people. His whole ministry was spent among people, being with people, caring for people, looking out for people, helping people. And as Paul finds common ground with people here, he sees the opportunity to share his faith. But it says that he was bothered, or his spirit was stirred, the ESV version of the Bible tells us. Why? Why was he bothered? What was stirring his spirit? What was going on? Jesus wasn't there. Amongst all the idols that he sees in the city, Jesus isn't there. That's what bothered him. The people of Athens had sinned, and their sin was failing to recognize the one true God and worship him only, as is mentioned in Exodus 20 in the Ten Commandments. Paul saw this and it bothered him. He was bothered by sin. His spirit was stirred. Sin should bother us too, as followers of Jesus, just as it did Paul. We live in a world today that is a sinful world, that isn't getting any better. And there can be a tendency for us as Christians just to become used to it and think that, well, that's the way things are, so that's okay. No. But our spirits need to be stirred, just like Paul's spirit was stirred. When he looked on and saw a sinful society, he's like, that's not right. This place, this society needs God. Like our society today, moral standards have slipped. So many have disregarded the Bible, particularly in a lot of the big issues. Does that bother us? Are we bothered, or have we become used to our society? Paul was bothered. His spirit was stirred. Sin bothered Paul. In 2 Timothy in the Bible, it speaks about the last days and how people will live for themselves and their money. They'll be boastful, they'll be proud, they'll scoff at others, they'll be disobedient to their parents, they'll be ungrateful, they will consider nothing sacred. Sin should bother us. That's the world we live in today, because it bothers God. God hates sin. The Bible is crystal clear on that. Sin makes us enemies of God. Sin leads to death, separation from him, the worst place that we can be. Does it bother us in our world today? As we look about and see so much sin, are our spirits stirred? Are our spirits provoked? Does it bother us? It can be a challenge for us in our own lives too. Because we struggle with sin every day, don't we? If you don't, tell me the answer after the service. But as far as I'm aware, we struggle with the battle of sin in our lives daily. And we need to be bothered about that in our own lives, because if it doesn't start with us and we're not bothered about the wrong in our own lives, we won't be that bothered about the things that we see in society and the things around us. It's very easy to get stuck in sin and for things that once weren't okay to become okay, and we become complacent. As I was preparing and finalising preparations earlier in the week, the Lord gave me a verse from John 8:36 when Jesus says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." I wonder for you as you sit in church today, thinking about your own life and where you're at, do you need that freedom afresh? Have you become stuck in maybe sinful behaviour or sinful patterns? God desperately wants to set a whole world free from sin that people are just stuck in. When I was doing my devotions this morning, when I got up, I opened my Bible and opened my wee book, John 8:36. "Where the Son sets free, they will be free indeed." And I believe that is a word for somebody here today. God has confirmed that. I also had Moses in my notes as well, Gillian, which you would have known nothing about. And God in two ways has at least just confirmed, which is fantastic because he so wants to speak to us. We need that freedom in our own lives, but we need to want that freedom for the world that God has placed us in. That we see what goes on round about us, that it actually bothers us, and that we're moved to action. The people in Athens had put their trust in other things, idols. They hadn't thought about God. For you and me, in this world that God has placed us to be, does our light shine brightly? Does Jesus shine brightly through us? As we're bothered about sin, does it move us to action, to love people, to help people, to draw alongside people, to point them towards the Lord and Saviour who can help them, who can set them free? It's a big challenge for us, but it needs to start in your heart and mine. Sin needs to bother us in our own hearts for it to bother us in society, because if we're not bothered about it in our own lives, we'll look at what goes on in the world and we'll think, that's fine. That's just the way it is. Sin is all around us. Thank God for Jesus, because Jesus came to deal with our sin, something that we can do nothing about. God sends his Son, lowly, humbly, dies on a cross for you and me and for all our wrong, so that we can be set free, so that society can be set free, so that people can have hope, people can have a future, people can have forgiveness. And Paul in Athens realizes that people need Jesus. He was stirred up. Am I stirred up? Am I bothered? Are you? Or are we just so used to the environment and culture that we are in today? What will stir us up is a daily relationship with God, meeting him daily, being in his word, praying, seeking his presence, singing to him. When we walk closely with God and we encounter a holy God, we realise, I'm unholy. And when we find that holy ground with a holy God, we then realise there's a lost world that needs to know a holy God and one who can forgive them. Paul had that mindset. Sin bothered him and he longed to tell people about Jesus. He had a conviction and he wanted to do something about it. Paul's conviction to share then leads on to Paul's courage to share. Paul's courage to share with others, this fascinates me in this passage. He shares with Jews, Gentiles, those in the marketplace, Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, Athenians and tourists. It takes courage to share with people that you don't know. Sometimes it takes courage to share with people that you do know as well. What's an even bigger challenge is to share with clever people. Because we often think, I could never share Jesus with them because they'll ask me the hard questions. They know too much. They're really intelligent. Paul takes on that challenge, the philosophers that are there. And what does he do? He doesn't try and be too fancy or too clever. He just tells them about the unknown God. Tells them about Jesus. And often when we think about sharing our faith and how difficult it can be, often it's the story that we're telling ourselves. I couldn't share with him. I couldn't share with her. And often what we do in that moment is we write those people off because what we're saying is they're not good enough to hear. And we think because of our own unworthiness, they will never know about Jesus. That is rubbish. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that simple gospel, so profound, so life-changing, so life-giving, is still changing lives today. We don't need to dress it up. We don't need to make it fancy. The message is just so divine, so miraculous, and we continue to share that message today. The power of the gospel is greater than any human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says this, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God." Praise God for the gospel today. The clever people in this passage, the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, represent two groups that are mentioned among many. Epicureanism considers pleasure and the greatest good in life, and this pleasure was achieved by living modestly and gaining knowledge about the world. Stoicism was about believing in the unity of all things and maintaining harmony with nature. Paul needed courage to share with these clever people, with all the people that were there, with their different worldviews. It takes courage to share about Jesus. My mind went back to Joshua chapter 1 earlier this week. God gave Joshua a high call after Moses had died and Joshua had to lead God's people. What does God say to him? 3 times in chapter 1, be courageous, have courage, be courageous, have courage, be courageous, have courage. And God places a high call in each of our lives to share Jesus with others. And what does he say? Same thing. Be courageous. Be courageous. This is a great gospel message. Be courageous about it and go and share. A couple of examples of how we can be courageous in sharing our faith. Simple ways. When Andrew was at nursery in Rob Royston, I took him every morning. And I got to chat a wee bit with the lady who was on the reception there in the nursery. And I would go in and hello eventually developed into how you getting on, and that developed into did you have a busy weekend? And naturally, conversation started to grow a bit more. So we're getting in one morning and I said to her, how are you getting on? And she said, it's been a tough weekend. She said, I lost my dad just about a year ago. My mum's now struggling with dementia, and just tears start running down her cheeks. What do you say to somebody? I said to her, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. That was all that was required. I'll pray for you. Went in the next day, said, I've been praying for you. How are you? She said, I so appreciated you saying that you would pray for me. She said, that isn't something that people would generally say. Why did you say that? And I was able to share I was serving God in the church and what I was doing. And the dynamic and the relationship then changed because when we had a conversation, we had a proper conversation, which was fantastic. There was a guy that lived in our estate in Rob Royston. He had two dogs, two Westies. And the problem I had with meeting people when I was out walking my dog was I could always remember the dogs' names. And I'm looking at the pair, I'm like, how's Bonnie getting on? And I'm looking at the guy and I'm like, I forgot what your name is. If you've got a dog, you might encounter that, and it's just me. I'm not sure. And this guy, I got to know him for about over a year, and we talked about everything. I didn't share my faith with him. And the time came for us to move on, and I bumped into him one night when I was walking the dog, and I was explaining we're moving on. And he said, where are you going and why? And I said, God's calling us over to East Kilbride to serve him there. And he said, I thought there was something different about you. I said, oh, most people say that and think that mad. He says, no, I've never heard you swearing and just taking interest when I speak to you. And I said, I'm a Christian. I said, God loves people and I take an interest in people. It was just about having the courage in a simple way to take those opportunities. In more recent days, when I've been dropping Andrew at his new school at the top end of Motherwell, he runs down with his wee friend Alfie every morning, and Alfie's mum is there. I've just been able to start chatting with her. How are you getting on and what's happening? And she says, what are you up to at the weekend? I'm preaching at church. What? You preach? Yeah, I'm one of the pastors in the church. People look at you as if you're mad, but when you start talking about the serious things in life, people then ask questions. We need to be courageous when it comes to sharing our faith, often just in simple ways and dropping God into the conversation. But in that, it's about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit who lives in us. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of sin and draw them to God. Another role that he has within us is to convict us in moments that we need to speak out and do things and just sense that nudge of God in our spirit. Being courageous and speaking out. The story's told of a woman in America who's speeding down the highway, really upset. Life is in pieces. And as she speeds down the highway, the patrol car pulls out from the hard shoulder and follows her, pulls her into the side. He says, "Ma'am, I've pulled you over. Do you know why that is?" And before she answers, he said, you look really upset. Are you okay?" She said, "No, my life's an absolute mess. There's somewhere that I need to be." He said, "Right, okay." So he pulls out his ticket book and he's starting to write a ticket to this lady and a fine for speeding and breaking the law. And this policeman is a Christian. And as he's starting to write out the ticket, he feels God saying to him, "I want you to give her this ticket and I want you to give her the money to pay the fine. And when you do that, I want you to tell her that Jesus has paid the price for her wrong in her life and that he can come to her, that she can come to him and know him." So he starts writing out the ticket more slowly, hoping that God will change his mind or tell him a different story. That doesn't happen. He goes back to the window and he says, "Ma'am, there's your ticket. That's a fine. There's the money to pay the fine. I want you to know that Jesus loves you, that he's paid your debt, that he died for you, and whatever's going on in your life, you can trust him." That lady goes away, and a year later, she's driving down the same highway, notices the patrol car at the side of the road, so puts the foot down. Puts the foot down, the policeman doesn't come out and follow, so she manages to go down, come back up, fly down again, this time faster. She gets the patrol car's attention, who follows her. And as the policeman gets out of the car, she recognises it's the same officer. And he says, "Do you know what you were doing wrong?" She says, "Oh, I know, I was speeding. I was deliberately speeding." And he's like, "Are you mad?" She says, "No, no." She says, "A year ago you stopped me in this road and my life was an absolute mess. You gave me a ticket. You gave me money to pay the fine. You told me that Jesus loved me. I went to the nearest church and became a Christian and believed in Christ." Being courageous. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and how he would nudge us to share our faith. But this only comes from having a real relationship with God, being in God's presence, knowing him, being sensitive to him in your life, day by day, moment by moment, and just sharing his goodness. Being courageous. When I was a teenager, I was invited to church by my teenage friend, Russell. And I stand today all because of an invitation. By the grace of God, nothing to do with me, but because of one invitation. Young people, who are you going to invite to Eden Bus next weekend? Because who knows, you could be inviting the pastors and church leaders of tomorrow. How God can use an invitation if we're just courageous enough to ask a question. Would you come along? Paul's conviction, Paul's courage, and finally, Paul's confidence. In verse 22, Paul stood at the Areopagus, or Areopagus, however you want to pronounce it, and he shared. Why is this significant? That place was a prominent hill. It stood about 400 feet high, and it was associated with the Greek god of war, Ares. It was the best setting in Athens to deliver a speech. Paul goes for it. He senses the moment, and he stands in the moment, and he goes for it. And here we see a great spiritual battle take place. The Greek god of war, and the place where he is, and Paul brings Jesus, the one true God, more powerful than anyone else, more powerful than anything else. Paul goes for it. He's not confident in his own ability, not that confident in how he can draw a crowd. What is he confident in? He's confident in the one that he preaches about, Jesus. That's where his confidence is. He knew Jesus, and he knew that the gospel was true. And from that foundational point, he goes for it. Let me tell you about the unknown God. His message is all about Jesus. That's not to discredit any of our stories, because we can use our stories to share God with other people. Absolutely, let's do that. But he shares Jesus. He talks about the unknown God. It's about having confidence in the one you believe in and having confidence in the truth. Not your ability, my ability. We're well able to make a hash of things. Absolutely no doubt about that. Let's have a confidence when the opportunity comes your way this week to share. Say, Lord, this is about you. I've got my confidence in you. Wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you've shared your faith or you've said something really profound and somebody's told you that you've said it and you're like, I never said that. Often it's God that's in you, speaking through you, putting words in your mouth, helping you to be able to share with others. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is in you, wants to work in you and through you to share Jesus with other people. What a responsibility. But how exciting as well. The people of Athens had no hope. They were lost. Paul brings the greatest hope in Jesus and confidently shares with the people. How did some people respond? Some thought he was crazy. People still think that about Christians in our message today. Some people think that we're crazy. Some wanted to hear more. And some wanted to believe and actually chose to believe. Praise God. How often do we shy away from sharing our faith because we think that person won't believe it? We can do that often. But it's not about us. It's about him. It's about the one we trust in, the one we share about, the one that we have our confidence in. We need to be reminded of what we believe and choose to believe that it is true. And in the moments that come our way, just go for it. Our passage tells us that Dionysius was a judge at the court there, an important person. He became the first Christian bishop of Athens. So see, even these important people that heard the gospel that day, even some of them were coming to faith. Because the gospel can reach everybody, not just for certain people, for everyone. For God so loved the world and everyone in it, and therefore the responsibility lies in you and me just to go and share him. Gillian mentioned Moses earlier on. When God called Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus, and then we read in chapter 4, Moses is afraid of God. He's scared of God. And then he gives God 7, 8, 9 reasons as to why he's not the right person. God, I can't speak. I've got a stutter. You want me to lead these people? Are you mad? How does Moses become more confident as he leads the people of God? He becomes more confident because he finds God's presence. He's on a mountain in a cloud, meeting with God. He's in the tent of meeting, meeting with God. And Moses becomes more confident because he's in God's presence. And ultimately, for you and me, it comes down to a relationship with God and where we are with him. And then flows out of that how we share Jesus with those that are around us. I wonder for you today, is the challenge starting to make some serious time for God? Because if we're not doing that, our witness won't be that effective. It has to come from a place where we walk with God daily, to know him, to love him, to be in his presence. Is that the challenge that you need to respond to this morning? I trust that we might have the conviction to share, the courage to share, and the confidence to share this year as we go on this journey together as a church, and that we would step out in faith and confidence about the one who is great, the one who we love, the one who we serve, but the one who has first loved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much this morning for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that as we read your word, we are encouraged by it, but challenged too. Lord, this week, would you help us to have a conviction, Lord, a courage, and a confidence. You are great, Lord, and you want to draw all people to yourself. Help us to be obedient. Lord, in these moments as we respond in song, give us open hearts as to what you would say to us personally. Lord, what do you want us to do? Help us to be sensitive to your spirit, that we would know that nudging, that prompting. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.